Many people. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we want to take our final words for this convention, as we often do. And I'm going to ask you to open to Matthew 14. I want to talk about focus. Hallelujah. Someone say focus. Focus is something that you need to have. And as a leader, those of us who are pastors, you need to develop a habit and a culture of consistency. A leader that can be bullied out of his conviction is not worthy of following. A leader that can be intimidated. One outstanding fact about leadership is your ability to be focused on the goals, focused on the outcomes, focused on your objectives. You need to learn to be focused and know where you are going. A man who doesn't know where he's going will branch anywhere. You need to know where you are going. So when you are not there, you know you are not yet there. So leadership requires, and all of us here in this auditorium, we are born by God to lead others. What does it mean? What do I mean by that? If you are called to disciple people, that means you are born by God to lead others. Say, I'm born by God to lead others. My life is an example. Say it loud. My life, say it again, my life is an example for others to follow. That's important. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, be thou an example of the believers. It says, in your conduct, in spirit, in love, in faithfulness, in loyalty, in love, in your conduct, in your behavior, be an example. So that means you are called to lead. So in Matthew 14, we have the story in there where Jesus said to Peter, you know the story. And Peter was on, they saw a spirit walking on water in 26. And Jesus said, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Then Peter answered and said, Lord, verse 28, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. He gave him his word. He simply said, come. Now, what happens? When Peter was come down on the ship, he walked on the water. So I say he walked on the water. So he actually began. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. So which means he took his eyes off where he was going to. The fact that God has called you does not immune you from challenges of life. The fact that God called you to go to a nation, a state, a city, a village, a town, that He has called you to do something for Him, does not take you away from challenges. But your greatest assets in the call of God and your destination is to keep your gaze on where you are going to. Where are you going? That's a question you need to answer all the time. Where are you going to? There are thoughts. There are thoughts to and fro. Like Paul said, Ephesians 4:14. Today they're here. Tomorrow they're here. Where are you really going? A lasting focus. Where are you going? You're going to Jesus. You're not going to the wind. Why did you look at the wind? You didn't have to, because anything you put your focus on, you're going to get the fruit of it. You need to learn to focus. What did God say to you? Be focused. What did God tell you to do? Be focused. I tell our pastors when we meet, what did God tell us? We remind ourselves. It doesn't matter how many people are doing other things. I don't know what God told them to do. So I'm not trying to do what they're doing because it's not necessary. But what did God tell you to do? Of course, it's in God's word, I know. But what did He tell you to do? You simply put your eyes there. That's one. Two. And when you face challenges, and challenges will come. I told you at the beginning of 2020, 2021, I said, get ready for disappointment. Can you remember? Not all your expectations will come to pass. I told you. So as they happen, things you didn't even plan for, you must keep your focus on where you are going to. You can't attend to everything. Every challenge you are looking like this, you are changing your course. Every issue, you are changing your destination. No. No. Every course. Okay, maybe we should not go. If it's of God, why is there a wind blowing? If it's of God, this should not happen. If it's of God. Somebody told me years ago, he said, if God truly called us to this work, why are we facing so many challenges? I tried to explain to him. He said, look, I'm not convinced. And you should never have somebody on your team who is not convinced. I said, I'm not convinced. He said, why? This is too much. He said, why is some people blaming us? Why are some people speaking evil of us? He said, if God has called somebody, there should be the oil of God on him, then the people should not dislike him. People should not oppose him like they are opposing us here. And he just walked away. And I said, don't worry yourself. I spoke some words to him immediately. We sat on like a stone. It wasn't the sun. I said, we will be fine. Hallelujah. He came years later. He said, and you said so. So you remember, he said, I did. I said, we'll be fine. 11 years after he came. He said, well, I told you, keep your focus. You need your focus. You need to be focused on what you are doing. And hear me say, community church, this is not where we are going. I hope you know. Oh, do you know? No. We are still trying to draw the map. Hallelujah. We are trying to navigate. Okay, so let's draw it. Let's see how the map goes. So you keep your eyes on the ball. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on the ball. You need to know where you're going. Imagine, both for praises and censure. Imagine you're running a race. And someone say, I like this guy, oh. Then 100 meters, you say, thank you. You now stop. 100 meters race. You say, you like me? Thank you so much. I'm grateful. People think you were cursed. Don't be just with that. Someone is criticizing you, and you know, and they say even they don't even play football again on Thursdays. Those who are playing on Tuesday, what are they getting? Sure. And they are criticizing you, and I say, and you are wrong. You say, what do you mean by my head is big? Who said, did they jazz you? Put your eyes on the ball. That's why you see some footballers. They have grown beyond criticism. They are footballers that if they do something wrong, and people, the fans begin to abuse them. Ooh, ooh. Have you seen Cristiano Ronaldo before? When you say ooh, that is when he will make you say ha. That's focus. Because the ooh means nothing. If somebody say ooh, would they put it as a goal? It's not a goal. People just wake up and say nonsense. I've discovered, if I read this on social media, somebody just wake up on his bed and say, these people are rubbish, and he will sleep back. And you have lost your sleep because somebody who has slept back over the nonsense he said. If somebody says, you are stupid, you know why you will not respond? Because you are not. But when you are really stupid, you say, but I'm not stupid. Now why should you call me stupid? No. My secondary school seniors will punish you. There was one senior that punished us, Francis Ayemaku. That's his name. We stood in the sun. Shall we sing it? We're stupid. As stupid can be. I doubt if there's anyone as stupid as me. And then he said, we're not singing it well. So he told us to do a choir. Somebody would not sing auto. We're stupid. Say, we are stupid. We are mad. You know, but I knew I was not stupid. That was a punishment to say it. You are not stupid. Someone say, you are a heretic. Are you a heretic? Why are you bothered? You are not a heretic. I've seen people who called me heretics in the 90s. Now, we're preaching for them. Hallelujah. You keep your eyes on the ball. What is your own? People can say anything. People can get up. Some people, I don't know what they drink. They just talk. Just talk. Don't mind these people. Don't mind that person. Don't mind. And then you are now minding it. your eyes on the ball. You have challenges. There'll be financial challenges in ministry. Keep your eyes on the ball. There'll be persecution in ministry. Keep your eyes on the ball. There'll be difficulties. Keep your eyes on where you are going to. So I'm going to share one more story. In 1 Samuel 17. I share this a lot because it's a blessing to me. 1 Samuel 17. It's David again. Hallelujah. He's anointed in 1 Samuel 16. And verse 12 and 13. He's anointed. Where Saul, had been rejected by the Lord. And then you have Samuel coming to anoint him. And the Spirit of God, verse 13, came on him. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God is upon me. Glory to God. God chose him in the midst of his brethren. The next time we see him again, of course after one or two events, is 1 Samuel 17. He's going to take on Goliath. 1 Samuel 17. So, as he gets on the battlefield, okay, then he asks the question in verse 27, 1 Samuel 17. He says, he asks them in verse 26, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Because, listen to me, you cannot do ministry without confronting the enemy. Ministry is confronting the devil. You are in a warfare. Ministry, the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of the church is confronting the enemy. And we see David here for 1 Samuel 17. Here, he says, what shall be given to him? People say, well, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. They told him. In 28, Eliab, his eldest brother. Someone says, eldest brother. If you are not careful, people close to you will be your greatest distraction. His eldest brother. They grew up together. You know? And there's nothing that can be so distracting than people that ought to promote your course in life, that ought to inspire you, now come to mock. The eldest brother said to him, in anger. Someone say anger. When people are angry against you, don't try and appease them. They are just angry. When they are bitter about what you are doing, don't appease them. They cannot be appeased. When people are unnecessarily petty about your work in ministry, don't bother yourself. And there's some guys, they can do just about anything to lie against you. I remember years back, we had this series, I taught now with the Sons of God, 1996, I think. So I was doing a series on that now, and I was talking about the blood of Jesus. So I said, you know, it was a series I did for about 6 months or so. So in the midst of the meeting, I now said that, well, this was how I said it. I said, the blood is for the high priest to use. That Jesus is the high priest and not you. If you are using the blood of Jesus and covering everything, that you just put yourself under a curse. That was a passing statement. It wasn't the subject. I said that just as an illustration. The guy took the story and he went to town to say, I said that the blood of Jesus is a curse. So all the churches that used to invite me stopped inviting me because of that lie. But I didn't bother myself. I didn't. You know, because the journey is far. Hallelujah. For me, that was training. Because you need to experience rejection, opposition, then you build strength and substance. So, you must learn to see that too. Things are going to happen like that. So Eliab is just angry. Why is he angry? People are angry for different things. Some people can be angry because people in your church that listen to you, you know, they took them on a doctrinal matter and they didn't like how they spoke. Some can be angry because they feel that somebody that should listen to them listen to you. Some can be angry because they just are angry. Some guys are just, there's no explanation for it. It's a diabolical thing. They are just not happy. And there's nothing you can do about it. The Bible says about Jesus, they hated him without any reason. That can happen. Anger. People can be angry. You can have challenges in ministry. I mentioned that earlier. Financial challenges. There could be disciples that are not stabilized. There could be issues even with you. You will get distraction even from your job. It can come from family. That can happen to all of us. But notice you are at war. Eliab is angry. So why did you come either? He said, I know your pride. I know the naughtiness of your heart. You have come here to see the battle. He made assumptions and presumptions. I know you. I know what he's trying to do. I know what is in his heart. I know why. And he made. And you know, if Eliab says this publicly, people are likely to believe him. They say, can his elder brother be wrong? His elder, he knows him very well. His elder brother, in fact, his elder brother was the first person that wore pampers for him. He knows him. In fact, he knows him so well. But Eliab is only angry. Now, what's the lesson there? Look at 29. David said, and I want you to also have that in heart. What have I done? Is there not a cause? Hallelujah. Is there not a cause? Glory to God. Is there not a destination? Is there not a cause we are doing this for? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Now, what did he do? Let's take verse 30 together. Everybody, let's go. And he turned from him towards another. See, I have focus in the name of Jesus. He turned from that distraction. See, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are able to turn away from distractions. He turned. You need to turn away from it. You need to look away. It's still there. The financial challenge is still there. The challenges in whatever situation, your job, your business, even sometimes for ministers, your marriage is still there. But you will look away. You will look away, not because you are not going to attend to it, but you will look away because you are going somewhere. Everything will line up later. Your focus brings order to chaos. Your focus brings order to chaos. Notice where Jesus' distractions came from his family. His family mocked him. From his neighbors, from those that he grew up with, they mocked him. There were times they even had financial difficulties. Not just that. The authorities mocked him. They were against him. He didn't stop there. His own disciples also became a distraction. And then Judas. But you know what? He kept his focus. It's a great lesson from the ministry of Jesus. How? To keep your focus in life. To keep your focus. Never stop praying. Did you hear what I said? Never stop praying. Praying always. Jesus prayed throughout his trials. He prayed throughout betrayals. He prayed. He kept praying. Even when men didn't like him, he kept praying. In good times, he prayed. In bad times, he prayed. You must learn to pray. He prayed to the cross. He prayed before he was captured. He prayed after he was captured. You must learn to pray always. Never allow Satan tell you, you don't need to pray this one. It's not about prayer. No, it's about prayer. Pray. Pray all the time. Speak God's word all the time. Put God's word on your lips. When I say God's word, I mean the written word and the spoken word. I mean the prophecies that have been spoken over your life. At that moment, you say it on your life. Written word and the leading of the Spirit over your life, you put it on your lips. Learn to give thanks always. Oh, just raise your hands, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have called me. I thank you that you have sent me. I thank you that you have established me. You raise your hand and say that. Do not repeat things that people are saying about you. Do not repeat the challenges that you are facing. Do not repeat that the kind of distractions that are coming your way. Don't repeat it in your words. Put God's word first. Pray always. Put the word on your lips always. Give thanks always. I'll close here. Learn to keep receiving from the ministry of the Spirit always. You have a challenge at your business, then you stop coming for the conventions. That's stupid. You have a challenge in your marriage, your home. You have a challenge in ministry, then you stop coming for church services. No, that's the time to be in the church service. It's an error that a lot of people make. Don't do that. You go to receive all the time. You go to receive. No matter the difficulties you face in life, you must not stop receiving from the ministry of the Spirit among believers. Never allow Satan drive you into isolation. Isolation sometimes doesn't mean that you are not with people. You can just be with the wrong people. You know, Satan is very interesting. Every time there's a distraction, he will just give you new friends. New friends. And they will be speaking to what you want to hear, not what you must hear. Hallelujah. As you leave this convention, keep your focus. I told you at camp meeting, keep your passion. Now I'm telling you here, keep your focus. Write down, before you leave this convention, God's vision for your ministry. God's vision for your life. Write it down. And look at it. Look at it. The things the Spirit of God said to you, look at it. Write it down. And look at it. And say, I'm going to keep this. Read it. Meditate upon it. Speak it. And practice it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I receive stability for your lives, for your ministries, for all that you do. Fruitfulness in all that you do. I receive open doors for you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say for 2022, you go for the double, you triple. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, some of you are going to go times 10 in all that you do. Some will go times 100 in all that you do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I receive for you focus, stability, fruitfulness by the power of the Holy Ghost. As you step out of this convention, you step into a new season of your life. A season of lights. A season of order out of chaos. A season of fruitfulness. A season of newness. By the power of the Holy Ghost, you go for the double. You go for the triple. You go times 100. By the power of the Spirit of God. Your focus is strong. It's firm. It's unmovable. It's unshakable. Your testimony will not change. It will be a constant testimony of a faithful, loyal, submissive servant of God who gives everything for the sake of Christ. Who gives everything for the sake of the body of Christ. Your sacrifices will not cease. Your labor will not annoy you. You will not get tired of your labor for Christ. You will not be ashamed of your labor for Christ. Glamour will not seize your heart. Wealth will not distract your heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all your relationships are supernatural. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are godly. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive stability by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your life flourishes. It flourishes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lift your hands and thank God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise, Jesus. Lift your hands. Thank you.
You're the God who answers prayer.